Full text, Milo's Annie Taylor Award acceptance speech at David Horowitz's Restoration Weekend. By Alam Bokhari on November 12, 2016. Thank you very much for inviting me here to receive this. It feels correct and appropriate to win, and everyone involved in making the decision should congratulate themselves on their good taste and judgment. I've just come from New York City, where I watched Donald Trump win the election. And frankly, the much more enjoyable show of Hillary supporters wailing in agony while curled into the fetal position. Brexit was the same, of course. Hillary Clinton's supporters couldn't imagine a world in which she'd lose to Donald Trump. Look at it from their perspective, although their candidate is obviously ill. Completely out of touch with the real world, a power-hungry 90s relic. And surrounded by a staff curiously obsessed with cheese pizza, they thought they had this wrapped up. I don't know why anyone was surprised about those satanic ritual rumors, by the way. Lesbianism and witchcraft go together like Donald Trump and winning. Of course, under normal circumstances, I'd be open to allegations of hypocrisy complaining about a same-sex loving, drug-addled megalomaniac with entitlement issues surrounded by sycophancing with atrocious dress sense, but this is the presidency we're talking about. The Democrats rigged the primaries against Bernie Sanders. Another renegade Jew, but one too foolish to be in this room, and they thought they had the general rigged too. They had pollsters putting out drastically skewed numbers, and a media completely beholden to her campaign. They had all the parts in place. And then they rolled out their secret weapon. They started calling Donald Trump mean names. Racist. Sexist. Homophobe. These words have always worked on establishment conservatives. Because unfortunately, establishment conservatives have a strong streak of cowardice running through them. They hate being called names, and would seemingly prefer to bend to the will of liberalism than to risk their good name. Sorry to say it. But I come to you as a warning from Europe. And I wouldn't be doing right by you if I didn't give you a little tough love. Of the kind Donald Trump has in mind for America. Donald Trump, Daddy, as I call him, is not a coward. And the people who voted for him are not cowards. Can you imagine an America where voting for a candidate is an act of courage? Because you may face physical violence, as occurred at Trump rallies courtesy of the Clinton campaign. And you are smeared as a sexist, racist, Islamophobe just for voting Republican? The courage of Trump and his voters handed Hillary Clinton the worst electoral defeat for a Democrat in 28 years. 28 years. Some of you were the age of my typical college audiences the last time this happened. No one in the media predicted it, vanishingly few on the conservative side predicted it. And we know a lot of cowardly conservatives didn't even want Trump to win. I hear that Glenn Beck is still on suicide watch. The poor lamb. By the way, I am not arguing that liberals are not cowards. I have experienced their cowardice firsthand during my college speaking tour. When they cancel shows with last-minute exorbitant security fees because they are too cowardly to simply say we are afraid to let this gay Jew with the wrong opinions speak on campus. But what left-wingers have learned is that courage involves action. It involves building infrastructure and infiltrating existing institutions, like they have so effectively with academia. We are only just now seeing effective infiltration by conservatives. We need to start thinking like Mossad infiltrating terror organizations, not like a family that must keep the peace during Thanksgiving, which is so often the conservative way. Courage is an excellent thing to honor. What does it say about conservatives that we give so few awards to honor it? As some of you may know, it is legally required by the United Kingdom that I quote Churchill, who pointed out courage is required first, for any of the other virtues to operate. Conservatives must understand that courage is doing things. It is not writing essays that will only be read by other conservatives over the age of 50. No offense to the room. It is not, to bastardize Teddy Roosevelt's famous line, talking loudly while not carrying a stick at all. Conservatives must have the courage to risk being smeared, must be courageous enough to leave the ghetto and talk to everyone of all political persuasions, to wade into the bastions of the enemy like universities, black neighborhoods, and Silicon Valley to engage. We must be courageous enough to challenge the foe's presuppositions directly, root and branch, not accept them first. Courageous enough to name the enemy. One thing you can say from the left, no defeat ever stops it from getting up and trying again and again and again. For a while it seemed as though American conservatives had simply given up, handing over the arts, academia and the media to the left. conservative tactics, in journalism, entertainment and OK campuses were largely ineffective. Their figureheads were cringeworthy, unconvincing, uncool and worst of all badly dressed. Their arguments were stale and uninspiring to anyone under 60. The culture wars are not over. They simply haven't been fought in a while. This is my message to conservatives: when you actually show up to the battle, armed with the right tools, you win. Why is courage needed? We are in a state of war, at home and abroad. Not because conservatives have been the aggressors. Instead, the Western civilization we love has been attacked from without by Islam, and from within by a left-wing ideology that prefers our Muslim foes in Mecca to the Athens of Plato, the Jerusalem of Hillel and the Rome of John Paul II. Conservatives must engage in this culture war, especially young conservatives at the university level. I've witnessed it firsthand, and am an active warrior in this battle myself. And you can't be scared off, as conservatives and libertarians have so often been scared off, by the shameless lies of the left. I'm thinking in particular of the supposed hate crimes filling news media coverage since Trump's win. I mean, give me a break. Considering how much experience the left has with faking hate crimes, you'd think they would be good at it by now. Conservatives have not done a very good job of calling attention to these lies in the past. We have to start doing it now, using warmth, humor, waspishness and all of the rhetorical and creative and artistic strategies at our disposal. My Dangerous Faggot Tour was designed to activate a new generation of fighters, brave culture warriors like Ariana Rollins at UC Irvine, Tom Sicada at Bucknell. I'm filling America with these feisty, tremendous young people. They are going to save you. Support them. What one of my heroes, Andrew Breitbart, understood better than any other conservative in history is that we must fight the culture war and not the political war, because politics is downstream from culture. If you are fighting about policies, you've already lost. It's too late. Where are the conservative writers, filmmakers, and artists? Why was a pro-Trump art show I starred in, staged in a New York art gallery last week, a unique and massive news story? Where are the conservative enclaves in universities comparable to gender studies departments? The people in this room must develop answers to these questions, and quickly. Courage is taking action. Both Breitbart News and I take action. We are boisterous, loud, larger than life, in your face. We don't care whom we annoy in our pursuit of the truth and speaking that truth to power. That is why Breitbart is winning. Many conservatives find both Breitbart and me to be uncouth. Gauche. A bit common, as my grandmother might have said. Well, that is the snobbery that has left the conservative movement intellectually and creatively dead in the water for decades. I answered her in my trademark sensitive and caring way. Madam, I'm grateful to you for coming, but quite honestly, fuck your feelings. That may seem gauche to you, but that message is critical to young conservatives who are deep behind enemy lines on campus, fighting the culture war that will shape the future of this country. Young conservatives are emboldened by seeing someone stand up for them and tell these spoiled brats to shut up and get out if they don't like it. Daddy Trump did the same thing for the common man at his rallies. In just the last 12 months, the so-called social justice warriors that make up the far left have gone from having a fearsome grip on American campuses to being a national laughingstock. Despite what you may think, I am a modest person. But I will take a share of the credit for creating the revolution against college crybullies. I taught America to laugh at social justice warriors. 6 months later, the movement on campus was heading for extinction. And that's my motto: laughter and war. If we are to win the culture war, we must do it by fighting hard and having a hell of a good time along the way. Conservatives are funnier than liberals. We can produce content that is much better and funnier than they can, because they are so obsessed with their juvenile emotions and special interest groups. Anyone unfortunate enough to have sat through the new Ghostbusters film knows I am speaking the truth. My approach is best summarized by G.K. Chesterton, who praised living hot as the riots of Dionysus, wild as the gargoyles of Catholicism. This has been tremendously effective for me in reaching younger people. And the best part is, laughter and war are infectious. I've started to churn out an army of Milo fans, imitators and admirers fighting the war. My advice to everyone in this audience is to learn how to support and work with the new younger generation of conservatives. My tour has shown me there is a deep divide between the youth movement and establishment conservatives. My tour, by the way, looks like a lot of fun. But it's not all fun and games. You heard from the general about Donald Trump's love for Holiday Inn Expresses. And good for him, but I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to not waking up in Courtyard by Marriott's come February. Young men and women at universities and amongst the cultural libertarian and alt-right movements find themselves in the unfortunate position of being called anti-Semites by both liberals and conservatives. You are wrong about them. And you need to find out why and fix it. They woke up after the election to see Donald Trump's entire movement labeled as anti-Semitic, at the same time that Prime Minister Netanyahu called Trump a true friend of Israel. Instead of being as quick to throw around that phrase as the Southern Poverty Law Center, conservatives must make the effort to come together with young people to heal the rifts exposed by this election cycle. It may be easier if older conservatives recognize that kids my generation and younger have no idea why anti-Semitism is different from racism, sexism, and homophobia. The young fail to appreciate its historical significance because here, as in many other areas, they are educated so poorly. At the American Bicentennial, Gerald Ford said that liberty is a flame to be fed, not ashes to be revered. I juxtapose that with a comment I received from the leader of a very old and distinguished conservative organization, who said of his establishment peers, "They revere ashes, have lost the truth and have forgotten how to laugh and to battle." I'm sincerely proud to accept this award because the past winners never forgot how to laugh and how to battle. They were people of action, like Pam Geller, Oriana Fallaci, and the late great anti-feminist Phyllis Schlafly, who is surely looking down on this Trump victory from heaven and rejoicing. History remembers the brave. It recalls those heroic Jewish fighters, the Maccabees, who faced down the Greeks who hoped to force them into religious conversion. It recalls Pope Leo the Great, who left his own safe space and faced down Attila the Hun, and by his courage saved Rome and the civilization she stood for. So let us fight, but let our motto be Risus et Bellum, laughter and war. Because nothing stinks our foes, foreign and domestic, more than our hearty laughter at their lies and nonsense. And also because nothing will better remind us what we're fighting for than the laughter of Chesterton, of Chaucer and of Shakespeare, and of course the God who inspired them all. I'd like to thank Alex Marlowe and Steve Bannon, who did so much to help me create this remarkable cultural and social phenomenon. And of course to David, who after decades of public service still has his finger right on the pulse of the leading influential hellraisers, mischief makers and dissidents. I'm talking about myself, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, please raise your glasses, to courage. Thank you, God bless you all, God bless Donald Trump and God bless America. Written from prepared remarks.